peace, love, and light, my people, my amazing people out there. We are back. Minds Like Minds podcast. I'm your host, Darrell Melpica. You can follow me on all socials, but I'm just glad that you're here listening as I continue to, you know, pursue my passions and spread this light and love to all of you out there. This season has been amazing so far. Just talking about something that means so much to me, and that is natural health and diet. The more I learn, the more I want to share with everybody. And as I continue on my journey and document it with everybody, hearing your stories and all that just gives me that added fuel, number one. But also just lets me know that, you know, it's reaching people. And that's what you know, just helps me in those darker times and those rougher times to continue to go and to continue to learn and to continue to grow and just continue to share with all of you. But today we're going to talk about just the concept and the idea of the raw food diet. And the question a lot of people have is, you know, is it safe to stay on a raw food diet for extended periods of time? So let's dive into that. Let's really get into it. Before we do that, you know, everybody out there who's watching on YouTube, you know, make sure you're giving likes and shares and subscribing and leaving reviews on all the other audio platforms. That does help, you know, us with the cause, putting this together and being able to take it further and beyond, so we can really tap into humanity. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately help the collective consciousness of the world. There is a donate link in the description of every podcast. If, you know, look, if you have it, if you want to support, you know, we'd be highly appreciated. If not, no big deal. It's all about spreading love and spreading light. So I'd appreciate all of you. but when we talk about the raw food concept and just raw food in general, that question does come up a lot. Comes up a lot to me, you know. And look, there's nothing wrong with having those types of questions. I think it's important to realize that, like, we all come from different places. We've all been taught different things. I feel safe in saying that we've all been indoctrinated with a certain type of medical perspective that I continuously talk about. And once you're able to acknowledge that and understand that, and then you kind of start from scratch a little bit, things do start to make sense a little bit more. So the idea and the question of a raw food diet not being safe for extended periods of time, like, is something that I would expect the average person to ask and think. I mean, shit, we've grown up on cooked food. Everywhere you look is cooked food. Everywhere you go is cooked food. You know, it's cooked food is the socially acceptable way of eating, to the point where, like, fruits and raw vegetables are almost looked at like snacks or hors d'oeuvres. You know what I mean? You go to a party and they might have a fruit tray or a vegetable tray, and it's a snack. You know, it's something, it's like an appetizer, sometimes not even an appetizer, you know. But that's the concept. That's the mindset that we have to break. For all of you guys out there who are looking to implement more raw food into your diet, or even go full raw or majority raw, that is the mindset you have to break. Because everything you've learned about diet and eating is from that allopathic perspective. It's from that standard American diet way of thinking. It's from that indoctrination. I mean, look at the food chart. Look at the things you see on TV. Look at the children's shows. You know, they get you early. The influence hits you early. And when I say they, I don't necessarily mean they actively. Well, some of it is active. But when you influence generations, it just becomes like natural to think these things. And that's where that break into that conditioning and mindset truly comes into play. So when I think of like the raw food diet, and the question of if it's safe to do for extended periods of time, I want to start with just the basics of the human being. So I want you to think of these things. This is how I would answer that question, and this is what we'll dive into right now. I want you to think about this. And it doesn't matter what religion you are, it doesn't matter, you know, what philosophies you follow or spirituality you have or whatever. Like, this is just basics. All right. So however you think this world was formed, whether you think, you know, you believe in the Christian way or the Hindu way or whatever the case may be, however you think this world was formed. When you look at nature, everything in nature seems to be perfect, right? I mean, like, if you look at the shell of a tortoise or a turtle, it's just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful geometry. You see the fractals within the shell. Right. And you look at like a lizard skin or a snake skin, or you look at how flowers and the petals and the pollen and all of it is just made in just amazing glory, and how trees, how they operate and just everything, how the ecosystem works together, how nature works together. It's truly amazing. And however you believe it was formed or created, I think we can all agree that it was created optimally for every living creature on the planet, for all of it to work together, symbiosis. So when you think of that, and that's kind of your basis, your baseline, think about the human being. Now, when human beings first started to walk this earth, think about what they need to survive. Well, number one, they need food, right? They need food, right? And the first human beings that ever walked this earth didn't know what fire was, didn't know how to create fire. Probably did not understand the concept of killing another creature for food, but if you look at nature, look at the foods that nature provides for us, it's pretty safe to say that the first human beings on this planet ate nothing but raw fruits and vegetables, maybe some seeds and nuts. All provided from the earth, all without any effort to obtain. Remember, taking it to its most simple form, you look at how animals operate, undomesticated, even domesticated animals. Well, we'll get to that in a second, but like, if you look at nature and how undomesticated creatures, animals, operate, it's all off instinct. It's all off what's provided for them and what's optimal for them. If you have a dog and you start, I mean, not every dog, because when you start throwing domestication in there and all the kibble and all the shit and the vaccines and all these things that we give to domesticated animals, it completely throws a lot of their impulses and instincts and connection to nature out the window. Just like it does to us. But animals are going to eat what they are instinctively created to eat. And it's the same way with humans. And I know there's so much discussion out there about what the earliest humans ate. And there's some studies that say that they ate meat and it's, you know, sometimes even raw meat or whatever the case may be. And, you know, some say that meat is the optimal diet or whatever. But like, I just want you to think of the most basic things. Like when humans were first on this earth, when they did not understand how to create fire, even understand what fire was and what cooking a piece of meat would taste like or cooking a vegetable would taste like. What did they eat? How did they survive? They ate raw foods. Plain and simple. Because that is the food that nature provides. And we are animals. When we were undomesticated, before colonization, before migration, all these different things, that's what we ate. Plain and simple. Like, I don't even see how there's a debate to that. So if the creator or the creation conjured up, built, manifested nature to be perfect for every other animal and every other creature, why wouldn't it be perfection for humans as well? So that's where my mind goes when I hear this question. Now, a lot of time has passed from the first humans who walked on this earth till now, and a lot has changed. And that does have a factor in a lot of different things. But it doesn't change the fact that we were created to eat something specific in mind. And it's not just the fact that we didn't have the knowledge of how to create a weapon and kill an animal and skin it and then cook it and then eat it and preserve it. It's not that at all. If you look at our physiology, it tells you everything you need to know about what we're supposed to eat. Our teeth are that of a frugivore, plain and simple. We're not an herbivore. We're not supposed to eat grass. Our teeth aren't completely flat. We are frugivores. Compare our teeth to other frugivore species like the ape. What's appealing to us from a visual standpoint? Colors. And there's a fruit for every color in the human spectrum. What's also a big part of our physiology is taste, satiation. Fruits are sweet. Extremely sweet. Then you look at our digestive system. Our digestive system is built for fruit and leafy greens and some seeds and nuts. It's not built for meat. It's not built for man-made foods. It's not built for wheat or grass or starches. It is built with the frugivore lifestyle in mind. Now, here's what happens. Here's the kicker when it comes to a raw food diet. When it comes to a raw food diet, and the questions that come along with it, as if are wondering if, you know, it's going to be good for me, healthy for me for a long period of time. It goes back to that other perspective, that tells us constantly that we need these specific nutrients to survive. We need these specific micro and macronutrients to thrive, right? And a lot of those micro and macronutrients were promoted and showcased for a capitalist reason in mind, right? There's a lot of money in vitamins. There's a lot of money in supplements. There's a lot of money in this stuff. There's a lot of money in the medical industry, you know, and the fear. We talked about the fear, like, oh, you might have this deficiency or you might have that deficiency. Well, if you're having headaches, it might be this deficiency. Maybe you need a little more zinc. You know, all these are a little more iron, right? And specifically, if you are a vegetarian or vegan, it's even more. The fear is even bigger. Yet, if you look at statistics, vegetarians and vegans live almost 9 years longer than the average omnivore, right? And then you throw in a raw vegan, fruitarian, or whatever the case may be, it's even longer. So the statistics are there that going on a raw food diet is optimal for your health. Optimal. And I shouldn't say a diet, a lifestyle. But here's what happens, and I completely get it, is when you start to eat clean and eat raw, your body's going to go through changes. And some of them aren't always pretty. Some of them aren't always, you know, pain-free. And we associate pain and what allopathic medicine would call symptoms or sickness, we associate that with something bad, with like a red flag, like an alarm, like an alert. Oh, something's wrong. So people will go on these raw food, you know, start eating raw and start having these ailments and symptoms, which are all detox symptoms. And they'll turn the other way. And then they'll tell their friends, yeah, I did that for a little bit. Yeah, but it wasn't for me. I hear that all the time. It's not for me. It's, you know, everybody's different. It's not a one size fits all. It is a one size fits all because we're all humans. Now, there are different levels of tolerance when it comes to toxicity. That's another thing I want everyone to realize. Like, me and you could eat the same exact thing, but our body's going to react different because we have different dispositions. We've eaten different things. We've been exposed to different things, and our body is at a different level. So it's not about one. It's not about, you know, thinking that your body's different because of this initial reaction you have. It's about you're just at a different level, but we're all, your body and my body, are trying to achieve the same exact thing. And that is homeostasis. That is balance within the body. That is optimal health. That is the number one priority of the body and its systems. But that is what happens. I mean, if you could even look at, you know, people that might be in the limelight or you know, professionals or famous people per se, when they go on raw diets or they eat raw for a little bit, you know, they'll speak of it for a while. And then a lot of them talk about, yeah, you know, I did it for a few weeks, but then, you know, I started feeling weak, or I started getting headaches, or I started getting sick. And that's kind of their turning point to where they go back to their original diet. Why? Because it's comfortable. What they've known. That's why the whole concept of the I detox at the beginning of the year, I do a detox here and there, comes into play. Look, the body is always detoxing. It should always be detoxing. Now, there's levels of detox, but that's also based on the level of acidity and toxicity that you have going on. So ultimately, like, is the body, like, is it, can you go on a raw diet for extended periods of time? Yes, you can go on raw. You can eat raw for the rest of your life. You're supposed to. That is optimal for you. That is what you're built to do. That's why when you do it, ultimately, the body will thrive. That's why when you start to do it and you feel those incremental changes, they're in a positive manner. Now, they do come along with effects, because that is your body making the transformation to an acid-based diet to an alkaline-based diet. And now what you're doing when you eat raw, you are giving your body not only a lot more angstroms of energy, right? I think fruit has like 12,000 angstroms of energy. I believe vegetables are like 9,000. Then you get to meat, and they're like 2,000 or 3,000 angstroms of energy. But here's the kicker. When we talk about We talk about energy efficiency, the amount of energy it depletes you in the digestive process for these raw foods is far less than when you eat food you're not supposed to eat, like grains and meats and processed food. So you're gaining a bunch when you eat raw and not utilizing a lot. So you have a lot in store. What happens is when you have all that energy in store now, now your body has the nerve energy to create detox and cleaning crises, basically getting rid of all of the built up cellular waste that you've had from the stagnation of your lymphatic system. That is why you go through those detox symptoms. That's why that is the side effect. That is part of the transformation from going to an unhealthy body to a healthy body. And look, if you go 100% raw with proper food combining practices, depending on what level of body toxicity your body had initially, and sometimes it takes a few months, sometimes it takes a few years, sometimes it takes more than that. But throughout that transformation, what's going to happen is like the bad tissue, the diseased tissue, the acidic tissue that you have in your body is ultimately going to go away. And that's why you see a lot of people get extremely skinny, right? And then what happens is once that's gone, you start to rebuild and you rebuild healthy tissue. So you hear a lot of people say, you know, man, I started going raw and I got too skinny. That's a part of the process too. That's part of my journey. Like for me personally, like I'm not 100% raw, roughly about 80, 85%. So it takes a lot longer for me to shed all of that weight. I've lost a decent amount of weight, but I've kind of maintained at a health, I still would like to lose a little bit more and I'm on that path, but like compared to where I was versus now, I could definitely tell the massive transformation and how I feel and how I operate and the amount of energy I have. But don't get scared of those things. Like it's a part of the process. Remember, this shit isn't easy. Like everybody wants results, but doesn't want to go through the process. And we've been conditioned to think these things. Like, look, like when you don't feel well and you go to the doctor, you want instant results. Like you want the doctor to prescribe you something that is instantly going to make you feel better. That's the mindset we have when it comes to health. So why would it be any different in your diet? So you want instant results. You know, some people go raw for a few days and only lose a pound or two and be like, oh, this ain't shit. This ain't for me. Or don't feel instant results on how they, you know, as far as they feel or from a health perspective, and they go the other route, or they want to get medicine because it's faster, it's easier. But that's not how it was meant to be. It's not how the body operates. That's not how life operates. And once again, you know, like if you just look at nature, nature will give you the answers to everything. Sounds like basic and cliche, but it's true. You're not going to see a cow eat a rabbit. You'll never see it. You know what I'm saying? You get where I'm coming from? Like, you're never going to see a lion grazing. Because that's not what they were built to do. That is not in their instinct. Now, the difference between humans and these other creatures is we're at a different consciousness level to where we make conscious choices. That doesn't make us better than anybody in nature. Because we're all a part of the same song and dance. But it's a more difficult journey. Because when you have that level of consciousness where you can understand and decipher between the betterment of you and the detriment of you. And you have these conscious choices instead of pure instincts. Makes it more difficult because you want to dabble in instant pleasures. You want to dabble in short-term thinking because it brings you short-term pleasures. That's why we as people get addicted. We have addictions, and cooked food is a massive addiction. I'm venture to say it's the number one downfall of humanity. It's the number one addiction, more than cigarettes, more than any drug. It's cooked food. It's food. It's the shit that we put in our body that is causing us the number, you know, heart disease, number one leading cause of death. Cancer, number two. Medical error, number three. So no, eating the raw, going raw will not lead to health issues. Going raw for extended periods of time is extremely healthy, extremely beneficial, and for your best interest at the end of the day. How does it work? Well, you got to look at the body, right? The human body. The human body and the way it's built and the way the digestive system works. We want to eat the foods that are going to cause the least amount of burden on the body. Raw foods provide that for you. Raw leafy greens, fruits, and some nuts and some seeds, right? And they provide all the nutrients, all the nutrition that your body truly needs. And you don't have the excess fats and excess proteins that ultimately get stored up in your body, which cause you to gain weight and also cause stagnation within the body. So now you have a stagnated lymphatic system. Your lymphatic system, remember, that's your sewer system. That is ultimately what is getting rid of the cellular waste, because your every cell, you have a trillion cells in your body, trillions. Every cell in your body eats and poops. Where does that poop go? The lymphatic system flushes it out if the lymphatic system is working properly. But when you're eating a bunch of acidic foods, those acids are not only damaging cells, damaging tissue, they are stagnating the lymphatic system. So it can't flow. And then you have backups. And when you have backups, then you have organ malfunctions. When you have malfunctions, then you have serious issues within the body. So this is serious, is real shit. Serious shit, man. Like I always tell everybody that, look, you know, it's a major transformation because, look, everything we've been taught, we were born into a world of bad eating habits. Plain and simple. And it's not anybody's fault as far as what we were born into. But you have the opportunity to make the change. And I promise you, like it seems drastic because we associate food with so many things, communal, entertainment, sometimes comfort, that we can't even envision ourselves not partaking in it. But once you do it, you're speaking to someone who's, you know, I'm about 6 years into this. Like, you're speaking to someone who used to love food, as far as cooked food and meats and processed foods and you fucking name it. I ate it all. But I made the transformation. And no, I mean, everything's not super simple and easy. And yeah, I'm still addicted to certain things. You know, that's part of it. Part of dealing with this whole process. But like, you can do it. Like, you're going to be so surprised on like how easy it can be. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy, but you'll be surprised on how, you know, the level of easy it can be. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easier than you think. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it is easier than you think. Because when you start making those changes, starting with simple things like replacing one meal, you know, from, you know, cooked food to raw food. And you start to see how that feels, then you kind of start to get in that process a little bit, and then you like how it feels. That's if you're aware. Which is a huge thing here, guys. Like, we're talking about health and diet here, but it's bigger than that. It's a spiritual thing. And when I say spiritual, when I talk spirituality, I'm talking about looking within, and I'm talking about the whole energetic field that you possess, because you are energy. You know, this is a physical container that you have, your body, but you in your entirety is energy. So it's a mind thing, it's a body thing, it's a spirit thing. And once you start to make that transformation a little by little, it's not only the physical benefits you start to feel, it's the mental, and it's the emotional, and it's the spiritual differences you'll start to. That's what gets addicting. That's what's going to keep you going. But if you're not there, if you don't start up here first, and you don't start with your connection, you don't add some meditation into this shit, it's going to be much harder. Because then you're only doing it from a physical mindset, and everything is energetic outside the physical. You start changing your food and your eating habits, like, that is an internal personal thing. It's always important to have community aspects to it. Like, you know, if you're married, you know, it's always important that your spouse is on board, and man, so important to get your kids involved in that. And I'm gonna do a whole podcast on that at some point. But like all of it matters at the end of the day, all of it matters. And you will see the changes, not just physical, but like I said, in all those other aspects and areas. And then that gets addicting. And then you just keep adding a little bit more and a little bit more. That's what I've done. I mean, I didn't go immediately from being an acid forming, cooked food, meats and process and a bunch of shit eater to 80-85% raw in a week. No, that shit's transpired over 6 years. And I can't even tell you, like, how many changes I felt in all aspects of my life, not just physical. So can you eat raw for long extended periods of time? Yes, you can do it for the rest of your life. And I encourage you to do it for the rest of your life. And if you're not doing it, I encourage you to start on that path, eliminating at least one of your meals a day. I mean, it's even the mindset of meals, right? Like we've been brought into a world, we've been indoctrinated in thinking we have to eat 3 meals a day. Breakfast is the most important, right? Most important meal of the day, which is a crock of shit. And then we've also been indoctrinated in how the meal looks. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been to a restaurant and I've ordered something, you know, vegetable based, and they always ask me, well, what kind of protein do you want? No, this is good, I'm fine. That's the mindset. When I go to family gatherings and say I decide I'm just going to eat some watermelon, or they ask me about what I eat, and I tell them, you know, usually I start the day with watermelon roughly around noon. Well, where do you get your protein from? You know, and most of the times, you know, I don't necessarily fully entertain those conversations because they don't go anywhere. They know where they can find me. They know that where they can see what I'm talking about. But in that type of setting, it's not going to go anywhere. But that is just the mindset. That's the conditioned mind of thinking we need something that they don't even understand. And that's where the why comes in. Like when you look at your life, you know, from your eating to everything you do in your life, to everything you're told and taught and all these different things, like we're told the what, we're never told the why. And most of the times we're not encouraged to ask about the why. No. Next time somebody brings up protein, ask them, well, why? Why do I need so much protein? Can you break that down for me? What does protein do? Right? And I believe me, we're going to do an episode on protein. For sure. But this just goes back to like, look, start implementing these things because it matters. You know, implementing, and then you will get addicted to it. And you know, when you're fully engaged, and eventually you're going to find your sweet spot. You're going to find your point, and you're going to make those conscious choices. Because there is pressure. There will always be pressure in this specific world. It's by design. Look, the majority of people around you do not eat raw. Every time you go outside, it's not a raw world. It is a cooked food world. But if you can like abstain from being influenced by those things, and that's where I talk about going within, and you can be in your own world and not let external factors manipulate you into being unhealthy, then you can do this. I've seen all the stories. I've read all the articles about, you know, how being a raw vegan, you know, causes mental health issues, or, you know, if you don't get enough B12, this, that, and the other can happen. Or if you don't get enough protein, this can happen. All these different things, right? And I always come back to nature. Because if nature, like, intended for us to be at our optimal health based on everything you see in nature, then those man-made deficiencies have no bearing. They hold no weight. None at all. Why am I going to believe something that has just come to light, maybe in the past 100 years, maybe, with something as powerful as the creation of this world? Think about that. And then think about motive. What is the motive of nature versus what is the motive of man or woman? But through patriarchy, it's been mostly man. But think about it. What is the motive of each? It's kind of how I look at, different doctors and things when the whole pandemic came. You had some doctors saying one thing, you had other doctors saying another. So then I'd look at motive. You know, the doctors that are going against the grain are putting their reputation, their livelihood on the line. What is their motivation versus the doctor that's towing the line? You know what I'm saying? But ask yourself that about nature. When you think about, you know, is a raw food diet healthy for long extended periods of time? What did nature intend, and what is nature's motive? Nature's motive is to thrive and have a beautiful, amazing ecosystem and to stay alive. Like, you know, that nature is life. It's not death, it's life. Death is a part of nature, but the goal of nature is life, is to continuously conjure up life. Man's motivation, not all men, but the majority, has more of an egotistical and selfish nature, whether it be through capitalism or whatever the case may be. Man will have profit as their number one objective more than the betterment of the people. Now, I was watching this It's TikTok. It was an interview of somebody in 1965, I think. I think it was 65. And he was just talking about, you know, the car manufacturers and how, look, they know they can make a car that lasts, shit, 20, 30 years. They could do it back in the 60s. We're in 2023 right now. And the majority of cars they make can last, you know, a few years here and there before you start having issues. But why? Think about that. Like, why wouldn't a car manufacturer make a car that could damn near last forever? Because there's no money in it. If somebody bought a car that lasts forever, then that's not a returning customer. That's not a customer anymore. That's a one and done transaction. Why would they do that? That doesn't make sense from a capitalistic mindset. It's no different than medicine at all. I mean, why would they give you the secrets of the human body and give you that power or that knowledge to know that, man, if I just eat what I'm supposed to eat, I'm going to be in good shape. I'm going to be good. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to look good. I'm going to be mentally in a good space. Probably going to live a lot longer. But they can't do that because then they don't have medical patients. They don't have routine doctor visits. They don't have the pharmaceutical world. And they don't have early death, which means less resources is what they'll tell you. They might not tell you. They all go hand in hand. And then they won't have insurance. You know, people buying insurance. All of that is a part of it. All of it is what it is. No different than the car situation. Like the car situation, yeah, you get a car now, shit. Depending on how much you drive, you know, shit, you start putting miles on that car, 2, 3, 4 years, something's going to break down. Now, what they'll tell you is, oh, okay, well, you still got a warranty. Well, you got to buy that warranty. You pay for that warranty. So it's all built in. And they've also, here's where they really get you, because they have gotten into our minds, because we're in such a microwave society, because we're in such an entitled society, and we're so focused on egotistical things and superficial things, they know that in 2, 3 years, you're going to want a new car anyway. Just like your phone. They know that you're going to want a new car or a new phone anyway. That's why AT&T and Verizon and these guys, they came up with these deals. I can't remember what they're called, but you know, where you just pay monthly for your phone. And then in 2 years, you can turn it in and get a new one. And you think you're getting a phone for free, but you're not. You're paying for it on the back end and you're paying more for it. And you're okay with it. You're going to take this bigger bill and you're going to like it. And they do the same thing in when it comes to health, because they built a society that makes you feel like shit. Everything you see from the what they consider optimal beauty and, you know, what they project that you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to act like, how your life's supposed to be, all these different things, right? Constantly feeding us with things to make the average person wish they had a different life. And then they feed you medicine or gimmicks or diets, things of that nature, to make more money off you, because they're selling you on the opportunity to get to that point. And then when you do those things, they cause other effects. And then you end up in the same spot. So it's literally a paradox that just makes the world more money. Just makes these corporations more money. Take that power back. I say it every fucking episode. Take that power back. Take that power back and start taking control of your own body. And when you start here internally and you start with you, then everything else starts to fall in place. And then you realize, you know what? I'm not really reliant on these systems anymore. Case in point, you look at me and my life. I was born in the city. Been a city kid my whole life. Shit. I live on a farm now in the middle of fucking nowhere. You know, I got all kinds of animals and shit. Right? My oldest daughter, I pushed so hard through school so she can get into a major profession. You know, to either be, she was gonna go for astrophysics or to be a psychiatrist, all these, you know, typical things that, you know, people want for their kids, right? You know, and pushed her to go to college, right? Now? No, that's my oldest daughter. That's when I was young. That's why I didn't know. Now? My youngest daughter? Natural education. I'm not putting her in public school. I'm not putting her into the system. I'm not reliant on that system. I don't need a system-based education to teach my kid how to thrive in this world. So she can be indoctrinated by the system. So she can be kind of funneled into the working class. Not saying there's anything wrong with any of these things or utilizing these systems or resources. Some people don't have choices. What I'm trying to tell you is the mindset. When you start looking at things and taking that power back, looking at things from a different perspective, you start to realize you're not as reliant on the societal systems as much. And that is true liberation. That is true freedom. Yeah, my youngest daughter, she's going to be 6. And we've been really focusing on this natural education, which some people call it unschooling. I don't really like that name. I like natural education better. But she learns from everyday life. She's learning how to plant plants, make her own food, grow crops, take care of animals. Her vocabulary, I put her up against almost any 6-year-old. She's understanding math by simple things that we do throughout the day. She's learning how to cook, or I should say cook, but, you know, juice and stuff, things of that nature. And she's learning math in those ways, proportions, things of that nature. She knows that fruit is the optimal food. She knows that. She is a majority fruitarian. Well, she's a 100% fruitarian, but she is a majority raw fruitarian. That's how you change things. That's how you build legacies. That's how you break these generational curses. So when you hear things like raw food, you know, you can't do a raw food diet for an extended period of time, you know, remember this podcast, because you can. You don't need any peer-reviewed test to tell you that. Just look at nature. There's a reason why a dog will not eat another dog, right? They might kill another dog. They ain't going to eat another dog. Or they're not going to eat another meat eater. Think about that. All these animals in the wild and stuff. The meat eaters eat the herbivores. Right? Why? Why are they extinctly like attracted to those types of animals? And an herbivore never going to eat another animal. It's not instinctively built within them. Now, when we're talking about survival, sometimes things change in certain circumstances, you know, very rarely, but sometimes. But it's because it's the way nature intended it to be. Nature did not intend for us to eat flesh, eat animals. Or else we would have been built differently. And as far as like how we got to the point where we were doing that, I mean, you know, from, I bring up survival a lot because when you're talking about consciousness, you have to look at the lowest level of consciousness, which is survival, which is the root chakra, which is that area where you are just trying to survive, which most animals are in that level of where it's about survival, which comes with the territory. I need to eat and I need to reproduce. And that is it. That is the undomesticated animal. I need to eat. I need to eat to survive and reproduce. That's it. And then that's life. We're at a higher consciousness level. So there was a time where survival came into play for the human species, whether it be because of climate or migration. When we migrated north to colder climates, whether it be for additional land or whatever the case may be, came to a point where periods of time where we didn't have access to fruits and vegetables readily. So to survive the species, they had to eat meat. And what happened was, as we became more civilized, certain parts of the world in colder climates overtook other parts of the world that were in tropical climates and infiltrated, influenced, and basically instilled those eating habits within those civilizations. And through generations and generations and generations and traditions, that's where this has come into play. But the practices, the true raw food, true nature practices have always lived on because it is ultimately our basis, our foundation. So don't look to the studies. Don't look to what you can Google. It's very simple. Just look at nature, what you were built to eat, how you feel when you eat it. Thrive. That is the kicker. You want to thrive. We all want to thrive. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Love comments. So please leave a comment if you have any thoughts. I'd love to read them on the air too. But you're on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button and that thumbs up. And all my audio listeners, reviews. I need reviews, guys. Please. Even you ain't gotta say nothing, just throw a five, you know. Well, if you think it's a five star. But I do appreciate everybody. You can follow me everywhere at RL Melpica. And I'll be back next week with another episode of Minds Like Minds podcast. Peace, love, and light. I'm out.